I highly encourage you, if you have the opportunity to do something for Jesus, the best thing you can do, aside from reading your Bible and being obedient, is soul winning. Remember that Jesus commanded us to go into the world. And so if you want to partake in that and to be fruitful with your church family, that should be a blessing. And so we just want to encourage you, if you can, come and join us soul winning. But here we have it. We were downtown at the Sunset Market yesterday. It was a blessing. My wife handles the little, if you will, that little walkway down there underneath the railroad. And then she's handing out tracts there. And that's the Sunset Market. Some of you guys have been there before. Some of you guys may never have seen it downtown Oceanside. But guys, there are thousands of people that want to go over there to buy food and have that, enjoy that fair. It's a really nice fair. But it's a really great opportunity as well to share the gospel and witness. Amen. So there's Brother Carlos holding it down. And of course, we just hold our scripture sign. So you don't have to do much, but maybe just hold a sign and have a smile. And you can just show the sign to the people that are walking, or show the sign to the drivers walking by. We had a lot of great encouragement last night from people that were there. We call them praise bys and walk bys, and they were just, you know, encouraging us for what we were doing. Also, had some interesting conversations. Amen. We had some scoffers, but I love them with nothing but grace. Amen. This young woman approached me. She was about to go to the bar with her boyfriend or whoever, however they identify. Of course, it's not nowadays generation. But she said that she believed in Allah, that is the God of Islam. And she was just approaching me with a haughty spirit, but I'm very calm. You guys know me, how I can communicate, and I just try to walk her through, if you will, the truth. And she just kind of scapegoated, but deep down in her heart, I know she was just hurt and sad. A lot of the time when they want to debate with you and want to begin to call out, well, how do you know the Bible's this? And what about God and that? And Christianity is guilty for establishing laws to oppress women and blah, blah, blah. Far from the truth. Far from the truth. Ironically, in the Quran, Muhammad taught his followers to beat their women and to bring them into submission. Number two, that if they wanted to have, if you will, a happier relationship within their sexual drive, to go out and get a young girl. All that has been annotated. It's wild. And ironically, that's the oppressive religion, if you will. Jesus Christ liberates women. Amen. And also men from sin. But nevertheless, it was interesting. So I always want to encourage you to go soul when you can, because it stretches you out. It puts to test your theology, so that way you can be ready with an answer and become all things to all people. And so as much as you can learn in here and you get it all in there, if you're not exercising it, you're not really going to grow in general. So what you do is you learn the Bible, you go to church, you have a good time, and you go into the world to put all that into practice. You're not going to be able to gain patience unless you deal with impatient people. You won't be able to have compassion if you don't have people to have to show compassion to. And obviously answering questions about the Bible, stuff like that. So it was great. I want you to keep this young Marine named Patrick in prayer. I thank God because we were about to leave. But sometimes you just stay for a little bit longer. Amen. I thank God that just right before we're about to leave, this fellow comes up to me. His name's Patrick. Very sincere. And he was just very happy that we were there as Christians. He was interested in the church. I share with him this the flyer, if you will. And I asked him if he was saved. He said that he did believe in the Lord when he was 12, but he's just backslidden. And he was wandering. He was wavering in the Marine Corps. He just was straight with me doing this and that. And I encouraged him that it's not too late to repent. It's not too late to have his life restored. He has a child as well, and a very difficult background, if you will. He's a young fellow, but in the Marine Corps. He's about to get out, and I thank God that he put us out there, because here's two people that Brother Carlos prays for when we go soul winning. Number one, the lost in general, just anybody who doesn't know Christ. But number two, I ask God to put the wanderer back into my path, you know, the backslidden Christian, the halfway Christian, the lukewarm Christian, because I want to restore them back to Jesus. I have a heart for the lost, if you will, and I have a heart for the carnal and the wayward. And I thank God that right before we left, we had a great time to talk with Patrick. I had the opportunity to pray for him, invited him to church. Hopefully, we'll see him Sunday. But just keep in prayer. And I said, look, man, just think about it like this. You come to church before you go back home to Arkansas. And I said, just be restored, bro. You know, have good fellowship with a little church body here right before you go back home. And you got to resume your duties as a father and everything. Why don't you just give God a couple of weeks and months, whatever that means, and let the Bible get in there and get the heart back on there. And he was real receptive. So keep Patrick in prayer. He was sincere. Just open. He's like, I know I need to get back to the Lord. I said, you do. So I thank God. Number one, we want to reach the lost. But number two, we want to go out for that wanderer. You know, the sheep that kind of strays, if you will. We have a heart for both people. So don't forget that, friend, because you and I were there. You and I were there. And you're thankful that somebody didn't give up on you. I know that people didn't give up on me. And so I'm thankful for that. Amen. So keep those folks in prayer. That sure was a blessing when we had an opportunity to go out there yesterday. And then for the brothers, you guys got my group message. The sisters don't, obviously, but I want to remind you now and show you here, church. This is our online track, if you will. Brother Carlos and Sister Katie, mission trip to Ciudad Obregón. So next week, on the 21st, remember that we've been telling you now for about 2 months, to Saturday, my wife and I will be going on our mission trip back to Obregón. If you guys kind of Google map it, it's a long ways away. And so I'm just asking all of our Christian friends on our social media and obviously our church family to pray for our mission trip, as we're going to go down there to serve the Lord and serve the saints, evangelize the lost, and hopefully reach more of some of my biological family members. I think I told you my story, guys, but for those of you who are just coming, I found out that I was adopted at 17, kind of, you know, had an fuel on my spiritual walk with the Lord. But nevertheless, over the years, we had an opportunity to discover them, and they are in this place called Ciudad Obregón. It just translates as the city of Obregón. And have nine siblings. I am the second of the youngest, and a lot of my siblings migrated to Tijuana, so they live up here. But I still have a few that are down there in this area. But Pastor Arturo and the church, they were the ones that God used to help me locate them. And so from the main city to the little village where my family was from originally, it's about an hour away. And he had just sent a missionary brother out there to do a work. He called him and said, they have a family from California looking for these people. Can you help us? He did. Found him in 3 days. Praise the Lord. So the church out there, Iglesia Bautista El Mesais, Pastor Arturo, humble brother, the Lord used him to teach me about charity. Because when I just got, if you will, learning more of Bible-believing type theology, generally independent Baptist methodology, whatever, I was real zealous for truth. I was real zealous to correct everybody that was wrong. I was real zealous to try to, you know, correct this guy and this girl and, you know, just checking everybody. I went down there, and in less than 1 week, the Lord corrected me. I was real, you know, zealous with the pastor, asking him questions about this doctrine and that doctrine. And he was so patient with me. He was so compassionate, guys. He was so charitable. But by the end, you know what I discovered? This brother, aside from being a teacher, he was a pastor. We say, what does that mean? He was a shepherd to his people. I'm talking about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, guys. We have members knocking on his door. Pastor, he would welcome them in, offer them food, fellowship. I saw him meet the needs of his people. I saw how he treated his wife. I saw how all of his grandchildren will get in the back of the pickup to go to a mission 45 minutes south, all excited to go pass out flyers to the locals over there. I saw his heart. And by the end of that week, I was in the airport with my wife. You can ask her. I started bawling. I started crying. And I said, Pastor, you've been the greatest example of a shepherd in my life so far. He said, Hermano Carlos, es Cristo in me. He said, it's Christ in me. And I said, oh, it just stuck me, y'all, with a big old knife. So if you want to know why I am very, if you will, my spirit, my personality, whatever you want to say, why I'm very charitable and why I'm more about loving and trying to show compassion aside from all the knowledge and doctrine, it's because of that man. He taught me a lot. He taught me a lot in 1 week, how to be patient with the brethren, how to have love for the brethren. And the pastor's wife told me that they have one brother who was at a rehab. He's getting his life right. You know, he was just getting back on the Lord, if you will. And he didn't get a chance to meet me, but he wanted to meet me. And he said that they were so ready and excited to meet us because now he's on his right mind. Amen. He ain't doing his thing anymore. He got his life right with the Lord. He's going to be down there and he's waiting to meet me in fellowship. He's a young man. And I'm just so glad that there are people that care about me, you know, and it feels good to be cared for, anybody out there. So I just want to encourage you. This is all the church, by the way. And you know what they said? You see those little cool signs there, guys? And you see our scripture signs? They were so moved and encouraged by our posts when we go sowing out of their own heart, guys. They don't have these out in there. They literally handwrote all their scripture signs. And they started going soul winning in downtown in their city. Look at all the brethren out there. You got the old Mexicanos over here. You got the young grandkids and the baby stroller, Sister Maribel. Look at that right there. Yeah, look at that. And pastor's wife, they're all there serving the Lord just because they were stirred and encouraged by us. Now, what happens if we gave up? That probably would not have happened. What happens if that one guy gave up? That other person probably wouldn't happen. So God can use you, even from miles away, if you just remain faithful to the Lord. That's all I just want to encourage you tonight. Amen. So next week, Monday through Saturday, my wife and I will be gone. Wednesday, there's going to be a prayer meeting. Brother Giovanni is going to lead the prayer meeting. Next Friday is going to be canceled. So enjoy some time. Brother Felipe, take Sister Maribel out to go eat some crabs. Amen. And then Saturday, if you guys want to go soul winning, I'll be back Saturday night. And then Brother Josh will preach for us on Sunday. And so we're going to continue. Amen. So that's going to be the schedule. Question, comment. Thanksgiving dinner is this Sunday after church. This Sunday. So feel free to bring some food. Amen. Don't eat the food only, brother. Bring some food. Amen. All right. All right. So that's it, guys. Just want to ask you for prayer. Amen. That's the most important thing that we can ask for. And again, I just want to thank you guys for being faithful to want to come out to church on a Friday night fellowship. Learn more about God. Amen. That's what it's all about. All right, friend. Well, if you have your study book, we're going to continue in our one book, Rightly Divided. Hope you have it. If you don't, you have the best book. That's the Word of God. Amen. So you can just follow along. But just want to remind you, we are continuing now. We are on page 571. And where we left off from last Friday, for those of you who were here, we were discussing the nation of Israel. We were discussing the restoration of that nation. And what does that mean? Just to briefly remind all of us, long, 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 long time ago, thousands of years ago, God gave a promise to one man by the name of Abraham. And that promise was what we call unconditional. You say, what does that mean? It just means that no matter what you do, I'm still going to do it. So Abraham believed in the word of God when it was presented to him. God justified him by his faith. And all throughout these thousands of years, God is, if you will, continuously dealing with his offspring, his seed, the nation of Israel. So the promise continued through Abraham, his seed, Isaac, his seed, Jacob, who became Israel, the father of the 12 tribes, and so on and so forth. To this very day, they are still his chosen people. Now, the church where we come in, we are what we call a mystery. We are a body of believers that the nation of Israel, because of their pride, don't acknowledge right now because they're obviously not born again. But we are a spiritual people. We are an unknown people. Brother, you mind answering that, please? And so, if you will, we are in a pause in the current dealing with the whole nation as a whole. And so if you guys can imagine, the movie's playing and you put it on pause. And so we are that little tiny pause. We are a body, a mysterious body to them because they're not saved. And so we are being grown and we are being developed. We are being built as Christians for the bride of Jesus. But the nation of Israel is said to be God the Father, Jehovah's bride. So all that to say is within the past 2,000 years of Christianity, I use that term like this here, there have been so many different schools of thought, so many different philosophers who call themselves Christians who just started to write down their notes, what we call a commentary, and then Christians who live hundreds of years later, they want to continue what that one guy taught many, many years later and begin an ism, if you will, or a school of thought, and hence colleges teach that ism or this system of theology, what have you. But there are two main things. One, there are people who believe that the church replaces Israel, and that that's called Reformation theology or Reform theology, generally speaking, that the church, if you will, has replaced the nation of Israel as the apple of God's eye, and hence all the dealings with Israel are done. And hence the church has taken it over spiritually and so on and so forth. But that is not what the Bible teaches. But those are Christians who trust the gospel who just have a misunderstood doctrine of the Bible. And then there's the other portion of Christianity, regardless of their quote-unquote denomination, who believe what we believe in, which is the church is the church, the nation of Israel is the nation of Israel, two different people groups that God is dealing with. Both of them have been given promises, but they're not the same. So once one body gets the promise and another body gets their promise, God is going to fulfill them regardless. So let me share with you two places, and then we'll get back to our study book. If you guys have it, we're on page 571. Now, this is not anything else. This is just Brother Carlos. Let me share with you two places. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3, and then we'll go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Romans chapter 3, and let's start here in verse number 1. Romans 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now here's the great, great Bible question that you can easily answer the scoffer or the doubter, whoever believes those ideas that I was sharing with you earlier about, well, what about if Israel do this? And well, nobody knows where Israel is scattered. You know, they're all around the earth. And then you're going to start entertaining the conspiracy theories on YouTube. And, well, the Jews are really these guys. So no, just believe the Bible and you'll be all right. Look at verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Talking about who? The Jew. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Here's the answer. God forbid. There you have it. So what if Abraham wasn't faithful all the way? Well, that's not going to alter God's faith. Well, what about Isaac? What about if he made a lot of mistakes? Isn't God going to? No, that's not going to change God's faith. Well, what about Jacob? I mean, didn't all his seed and the tribes have wars and a lot of these crazy things and rebellion and worshiping false gods and sacrificing their children and all that? They did. But did that alter God's faith? No, it did not. Because what did I establish earlier? It is an unconditional covenant. It is an unconditional promise. Will God deal with them accordingly? Yes, he will. Will he judge them? Oh, yeah, he will. Will he chastise them? Oh, yeah, he will. But is it going to alter the promise that God made? No. So I want you to now think about that within your principle now as a Christian. How many of you guys have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody here tonight? Okay. Is it safe to say, without judging you as an individual, that you have sinned at least one time after you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Anybody out here? Anybody out here? Okay. So the day that you sinned the commands of God, after you became a born-again Christian, did that alter God's faith? Yes or no? Did your unbelief or did your disobedience change who he was? No. That's the good news. That our salvation, our preservation, is not contingent, or what we say conditional, based upon our obedience. It is based upon his promise. However, our obedience, it alters our fellowship with God. Just like the nation of Israel. When they were going astray and becoming, if you will, like the Bible calls them, they were committing spiritual adultery because they were worshiping false gods. They were cheating on God spiritually with the gods of the heathen and everybody else around them. That hindered their fellowship with God. And I've been reading my Old Testament a lot with my wife. There's been some good scripture I'll get to tonight, but Let me take it one more, but before we do, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. I thank you for the saints who came out tonight, God, on a Friday night. I know some of them are tired. Some of them have been working. I know that some of them have been going through some emotional things, God, but tonight I pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified once again to encourage them and to comfort them that their faith is sure, their faith is secure, and no matter what happens this evening, God, no matter what they may or may not learn tonight, God, that they can just trust that your word is sure, and that God, regardless of what they do or what they've done, it's not going to alter the gift of eternal life. I thank you for that, God. So tonight, would you fellowship with us? Help us to continue to understand. Tonight, God, we want to be discipled. This is discipleship class. We want to learn more Bible doctrine. We want to ask questions, God. We want to trust your Bible has the answer. But most of all, may the knowledge we gain be used with a heart of charity so we can help other Christians. We don't want to condemn. We don't want to destroy. We want to edify and build up believers with where they're at. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go to a couple more places before we get back to the book. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And then if with your second hand, you can go to the book of 2 Chronicles, all the way back there in the Old Testament. These are some good portions of scriptures that I've been meditating on with my wife. And yes, it's very good for married couples to read the Bible together. Amen. That's free, Brother Felipe. And the Bible says that it is our duty as husbands to teach our wives the word of God, brother. Amen. And so the wife just has to struggle with submitting to the husband. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? No? Okay. All right. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I know. We're in a Bible study. I know. All right. So with your one hand, I want you to get 2 Chronicles. And then your other hand, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter number 6. Let's see if Brother Carlos can have his Bible memory correct if I open the scriptures here this evening. I want to see if I can find the portion of what I looked up to. There was a good man by the name of Uzziah, and I want to see if I can find, let's see here, if I can find where we were at here. A lot of good scripture here in the Old Testament, a lot of good stuff here. And let's see here. Okay, sacrifice here, sacrifice there. All right, if I can't find it, then of course I'm going to use the Bible study software here. Let's see here. Okay, yep. I remember that. Yep, okay. All right, so we'll come back to the Second Chronicles one. I'll search the scripture that I'm looking for this evening, but nevertheless, I'll come back to it for a reason because you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, so I'll just say that. But let's go to Hebrews 6. Okay, now, come down here with me now in Hebrews 6. Let's go here to verse number 13. 13. What are we just talking about? We're just talking about the promise that God made to one man by the name of Abraham. The Bible says here, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater. You know who the greatest is? God. Not man, not the Jew, not the Gentile, not culture, not government, not feelings. God is the greatest. So in the Godhead, here you have him communicating with the Word and the Holy Ghost. There is no man or there's no creature outside of the Godhead who has enough power and greatness to withhold the other end of the bargain. So your Bible just told you when God made a promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater than himself. Look at that. He swore by himself. So then when you go back to Genesis and you begin to study that Bible about God and talking to Abraham and doing all these promises, who did he hold himself accountable to? Himself. Abraham, I know you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but I'm still going to do what I said I'm going to do because I cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. But we lie. Anybody out there? Okay, that's another message. That's free. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So he could swear by no greater. Is that going to take place? Yes. All right, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men, so now the Spirit of God is just going to tell you a quick, if you will, a quick side nugget of what natural men do. That is human beings when we make an oath. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. All right, I promise I won't do this anymore, bro. I'll give you my word. And then we settle it because there's something that you and I are putting our hope into, which is the word. And then I'm saying, you and I are trusting one of us is greater in that, if you will, that mutual agreement. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's the nation of Israel, okay? We're talking about in context here, Abraham's seed. The immutability, what does that mean? Long word. It just means that God cannot change his mind. Of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even who? Jesus. So you know what your Bible just told you? You know the God who gave a promise to that man, Abraham? Yeah. You believe in that God. And he gave him that promise, and he is going to confirm it by what? An oath, and that's the word of God. So here we have God's character. It is impossible for God to lie. By his word, that's the second thing that God is now confirming it by an oath. It is impossible for God to lie within his attribute. And then secondarily, his word establishes the promise. So by two things that are unable to change, it is literally impossible for God to lie. It is impossible. You know what that Bible just told you? You, the Christian, you have a strong consolation. You, the Christian, you fled to that man who was set before you. Who's that man? That's Jesus. He's the hope and he's the anchor for your soul. So that's the good news. Galatians chapter, we don't have time now. We're not in Sunday service, but Galatians, I mean, I'm telling you, it tells you, well, man, I'm too excited, brother. The creatine's kicking in, amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 real fast. Let me just share this with you guys. This is just too good. Here's why God says this, guys. I'm telling you, if you just leave the Bible alone, it'll explain itself. I know sometimes we like to listen to commentators and our favorite teachers, but I'm just telling you, if you leave the scriptures alone, it'll explain itself. So that's all I'm trying to do. Hebrews 6, look at Galatians 3:6 real quick. Watch this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, by two immutable things, Hebrews told you. You know what the Holy Spirit told you, the Christian? Just like God justified Abraham because of his promise and his attribute, when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God gave you everlasting life. He gave you eternal life. because it is impossible for God to lie, and you trusted his oath. You trusted the word. So we are children of Abraham spiritually because, like Abraham's faith, our faith in what God revealed to us, God is going to fulfill it. God is going to fulfill it. So that's why, friend, your salvation, it's not contingent or conditional based upon what you can do. It's based upon what he promised. Isn't that good? So you have eternal life because God said so. I mean, that's I'm just explaining it real simple without using all the technical terms. That's why. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right, so let's talk about Israel. Let's go back there. If you have your study book, 570. If you don't, you have the greater book, the Bible. Oh, I did say the Second Chronicles. Give me 1 second. Let me see if I can just quickly find it here, guys. Let me just 1 second here. I want to just kind of quickly give you guys a nutshell history of what was taking place back in those days and why the Lord often would reprove the people of Israel for what was going on in them days. Let's see here if I can select here. This is so good about Bible study software. If you guys want this Bible study software, by the way, please reach out to me. I'll give it to you. It is a blessing to have this technology available for us today. Let me just go ahead and type it in here, and I'm gonna quickly find it. It's in the book of 2 Chronicles. So give me a second, guys. I'm going to try to find it in our Bible study software. Let's see here. Okay, let's go here. Almost there. Chronicles, 1 Kings. There's so many good scriptures that can help us with discussing what we're talking about tonight, which is the nation of Israel as a whole. But I wanted to share with you this one particular portion. Let's see here. Okay, we're still in Kings. I know we're still in Kings. Let's go down a little bit here. Okay. There's more. Okay. All right, so here we are. Now we're in the Chronicles. Okay, let's see here. Came to pass. Let's see if I can. Nope. I came to pass. Shemaiah, nope. And I say, Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I have forsaken you. Shishak. Maybe this one's it. I don't know. I'll just kind of keep that in the background. Essentially, what I wanted to show you guys tonight is just where the Lord raised up a prophet to communicate to the nation of Israel because they were being silly. They were being rebellious. But he kind of summarizes their history, you know. And so what does that mean? He'll say, I brought you guys out of Egypt, right? And I did this, but look at what you're doing. Essentially is what I'm trying to find out here. Let's see. Is it this one here? I don't know. Mm-mm. Okay, if I can't find it, let's see here. Then we'll move on. Let me just give me a couple more seconds here. Unless you guys have a Bible study software too, maybe you guys can look it up there. Let's see here. This is kind of big font. Give me 1 second. Believe his prophets, so shall you. And they rose. And they rose early morning, went forth. Okay, no. I think I found it. No. He sent the prophets and then began to bring them word. Okay, this is real similar. Let me just type this up. Maybe this will help me with my studies before we continue here. He sent prophets, and I want to look that up real quick. Give me a second here. And so Ahab gathered, okay, he said, all is well. Get the Lord. Okay, maybe this one. Yes. All right. Do me a favor and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17. Okay, 2 Kings 17. It's going to be real good. And then we can go to 2 Chronicles 24. So I'll just leave the Bible study software there, and then we'll go back together. So look at 2 Kings chapter 17, if you would. And you're going to hear this, and you're going to read this all the time. I mean, pretty much the entire history of the nation of Israel from the time that they were given the law, Exodus 20, to govern them in the land, if you will, of promise. They were unfaithful to the covenant, that end of the bargain after the law was added to the promise. They were not faithful. They were not meeting God's end of the bargain. And so God would often judge the nation of Israel. You guys remember the stories of how invading armies would come and chastise them, take them away captive. That was all conditional because God dealt with them conditionally, physically, as his people called out. But the promise, remember Abraham, that was going to be unconditional. So here's a general story. Here we have in 2 Kings 17, verse 1, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. So remember, the kingdoms are split after Solomon reigned, and so that's why you have the tribe of Judah over here with their king, all the rest of the tribes with their king. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. You're going to hear that all the time in the Kings and Chronicles. Some king was good and some kings were bad. And against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. The king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria. So there you have it being led captive, and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Now, here it is. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Guys, generally, that is the record. That's why they were so guilty. I mean, all the centuries, they had an experience with the true God, but when they left the promise, when they left Egypt, they still held on to those gods of the heathen, the world around them, the Gentiles, and they didn't want to let them go. And even though God spoke from heaven and they saw the fire, they saw miracles, they saw all that with the eyesight, it still didn't change the heart, friend. So here's the general, if you will, condemnation sentence that I'm just trying to paint for you this evening. That's the general that you're going to read a lot in your Old Testament. God did this for them. Look at how good he was, but the people still didn't thank him enough. And walked in the statutes of the heathen, that's the unbelieving Gentile who does not know God, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. They set them up images and groves in every high hill and every green tree, and there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. I'm telling you guys, all these Hebrews that got brought out of Egypt and their offspring, if they didn't believe God with their heart, they weren't going to do the commands. Outwardly, they can do that which is right, but inwardly, they're wicked. They're wicked. So what were they doing? Just like you read there, all the Gentiles around them, doesn't matter who they are, the black guys, the green guys, the white guys, all those evil Gentiles who did not have the knowledge of the true God, and they're out there sacrificing their children, they're out there, you know, burning people up, cutting themselves, and worshiping those gods, the Jews follow that. Even though they knew the true God, remember, unto them were given the oracles. And so they wanted to build their altars. They wanted to be like that guy over there. They wanted to dress like those people over there. They wanted to have all that fashion of the world. And that's why, as the Christian, Romans 12 tells you, don't conform to this world. I mean, that's a serious thing, friend. That's a serious thing. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. I mean, God told them, don't do it. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by who? All the prophets, and by all the seers, that's another term for the older prophets, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, oh man, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. So it wasn't a lack of information, brother and sister, tonight. It was a hardened heart. They just did not want to believe in God. They had all the law. They had the writings of the prophets and the seers. They had enough information. And even God would allow a prophet like Elijah to demonstrate to the people, once again, I'm the true God. Look, I'm going to burn this up and I'm going to supernaturally let you see me. But that doesn't alter the heart. That's why I tell you, friend, all throughout the Bible, it is always a matter of the heart between the Creator and His creation. He can give you all the relevant information that you seek. He can answer all your questions about history and even give you some science and maybe even move the spoon you've been asking Him to move for. But that's not going to change your heart. If you just don't want to believe in Him, you're not going to. You understand what we're saying here? So because they just didn't want to believe in Him, look at verse 15. They rejected His statutes and His covenant. Now listen, that he made with their fathers. We don't care about Abraham's covenant. Yeah, the circumcision thing, all right, we'll do that, but we could care less, is what they were saying to God. and his testimonies, which he testified against them. They rejected the prophets, you know, preaching. You know, the street preachers out there, they were out there preaching. And they followed vanity. What is that? It's just emptiness, vain things, and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Now, I'm going to give you a side nugget. This is not tonight. We're not preaching here. I'm just giving you a side nugget. I shared with you last Wednesday that there are some family members that wanted to engage with me on an online discussion about the Day of the Dead for the Mexican culture, Día de los Muertos for the heritage of Mexicano Aztec people, you know, those Aztecs that were killing each other and pretty much raping each other and offering each other up to the sun god and all that. Yeah, those guys out there. And they were just telling me that they found it offensive because I posted a post, should Christians celebrate the Day of the Dead? And my answer was no, because that is not the true God. Those Gentiles, my forefathers, according to the flesh, were worshiping false gods. They were killing their children and offering them as a sacrifice to those false gods. And so because of their vain mind, look at what the Bible told you there in verse 15, they had a knowledge of something greater than themselves, the Aztecs and the Mayans and the Incans. And they had an idea of an underworld, like universally every tribe does, that people's souls go somewhere when they die. And they instituted and they created these gods to control the underworld. There was a father god and a mother god who controlled the souls of the dead. But then they created these little shrines, these altars, and they had this time when the people would honor the dead souls, and their dead souls can potentially come back and consume whatever little bread or soup or, you know, whatever thing that they put there as a way to honor them, hence the Day of the Dead. And then thousands of years later, the Roman Catholic Church, because, you know, they're going to make everybody great again, amen. Actually, they pretty much killed everybody down there, but nevertheless, they forced them to abide in their religion now, you know, Christianity. But what did they do? They conformed to their heathen practices. Roman Catholicism, going down there to Southern America, they blended in the two to try to make it right. So here's what's crazy. The nation of Israel, you would have a good king, and sometimes the Bible says he did right, but he didn't take down the high groves. You're going to hear that a lot. He didn't take down that one place because the people. It really was all the people. And sometimes Christians, what they want to do, friend, is they want to have the right God. They want to have the right truth, but they still don't want to take down the groves from the past. They don't want to remove the altars from their culture and their heritage and their forefathers. And when they continue to do that and entertain that, you know what can happen to the mind? It can become vain. You don't have a lack of knowledge of the true God, but what you're just telling God and his prophets is, I don't want to hear what God has to say about me with my little altar and my little shrine with the pictures of the dead, because I want to honor their spirits rather than just listening to Jesus talking about people's souls are either in heaven or hell and nobody comes up back from the dead and there's no reason to have an altar here and we don't believe in that because that's the Gentile heathen thing. So for me, as a Mexicano in the flesh, what have you heard me say behind this pulpit? I am proud to be a Christian. I represent Christianity now. I'm no longer a Chicano or a Mexicano. I'm not here to say brown pride or black pride or white pride. I'm here to say Jesus Christ is life. He's truth. He's superior to the religious practices and the forefathers and the heritage and blah, blah, blah. All that was vain. That was heathen practice because my forefathers did not know the true God. And so that's a side nugget. I just want to tell you, here's what happened to the nation of Israel. They had the true God. God spoke to them from heaven. I mean, that's what he did. Remember that in Exodus? They told Moses, we don't want to hear him. We're afraid of dying. Just tell God whatever he says we'll do. That's what they said. And as you guys can see, they didn't. Their children, what did he say? They didn't believe. And so it's not a lack of information. It's just a heart problem. You understand what we're saying here in a nutshell? Okay. So they went after the heathen round about them. So friend, don't worry about the heathen around you. Okay, don't worry about your Mexican family over here that wants to honor the Mexican culture and the Mexican pride and all this silliness and has nothing to do with the true God. Don't worry about them. It's all right. You can be their friend. I can hang out and have arroz con leche, brother, but I'm not going to hang around with their little velas and their little silly bottles with, you know, the little sacrifices to their spirit gods and all that Aztec. It's all silliness. It's vain. It's empty. It's false. Same thing, whoever else you are here today, whatever that heritage culture from the back in the day might be, your God is real. Their God isn't, in a nutshell. Okay. The angels, when they came up to them, disciples, and they were looking in that tomb and it was empty, you know what they said? Why seek ye the living among the dead? your God is alive. He ain't hanging out in tombs. Anybody? Man, I got a living God. All right, now verse 16. And here, and so God is continuing the charge. Look at him. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. Do you believe the Bible there? Okay. So nationally, those Jews whom God is rebuking, he did not say they kept 5 out of the 10 commandments. He did not say they kept 6 out of the 10 commandments. He did not say they had faith, but they had some works and they got right with him. No, you know what God said? They left all the commandments. But what did Romans 3 tell you? Shall the unbelief of some make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Do you understand now? The reason why Israel is still a people is because God made a promise. By two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie, and I gave you an oath, I gave you my word, I'm going to do it. Even though you're not going to do your end of the bargain, I'm going to do my end of the bargain. Even though you're going to forsake all my commandments, I'm still going to keep my word. What did they do? They made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven. So friend, you know the zodiac? You know how we used to be like, oh, I'm a Libra. Oh, yeah, I'm cool. I'm a Libra. I'm over here. Man, even us, we're trying to be cool from the barrio. I can't believe we were even entertaining this weird mysticism that we were entertaining back in my Chicano days, back in those days. I'm a Libra, fool. Yeah, what are you, man? Oh, man, Taurus and all that silliness. Man, it's silly. Horoscopes, it's heathen, it's pagan. It's not the true God. So that's what they did. They wanted to worship all the host of heaven. You know, let's look up that and let's look at that star and worship that star. And obviously they're equating it with the Gentile practices and they served Baal. And watch this. Look at 17. I wasn't kidding. They sacrificed their children. Jews, Israel. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and enchantments. You know, the palm reader. You know, the 1-800, I'll tell your future. And watch this. And sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Nobody forced them. They sell themselves to walk and live in rebellion against the word of God. And what did that do? It provoked God to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also, okay, yeah, Judah, so far they're doing right. Yeah, Judah. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. So are you telling me that throughout all that history, the Jews had some, you know, commandment obedience? And no, absolutely not. They were reprobate. They were walking corrupt. They were conforming to the world. There was only a remnant of Jews who believed in God. But the whole, look at them, but walk in the statutes of Israel, which I mean now. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them. That's how he rejected them, because he punished them. You understand there? And delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David. Remember the splitting of the kingdoms. And they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. They didn't want to listen to those preachers. Remember that. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. So when that says in the sight of God, remember, he placed his name in the temple right there in Jerusalem. So that's just kind of how he explains it. Out of my sight, here it is in this land, you're out of here. And the king of Assyria and so on and so forth. So that's what he's just doing. He's giving them a rapport of everything that was going on. Oh man, there's so much we could teach here. My gosh, I want to continue on this portion of scripture, but we want to come back here. So, man, there's some good stuff. When you get a chance, friend, just go ahead and do it here. Let's pick up 34. Unto this day, they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law, remember Romans chapter 9, I showed you guys that last time, which he wrote for you, nation of Israel, not the Africans, not the Europeans, not the anybody else. It's just the nation of Israel that were given the laws to govern them in the land of promise. Ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear the gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. Notice how he keeps telling them. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So I just want to give you in a nutshell, 2 Kings 17, that's like a history of the whole heart of the people throughout the time until Christ was born. What preserved them? It wasn't their works, obviously. It wasn't their faithfulness, obviously. What was it? It was the promise God made one man by the name of Abraham. I cannot lie. Israel, man, y'all are messing up. I'm very angry with you. I'm going to toss you up. I'm going to give the green light to that one guy over there from that land who wants to come over here and conquer people. I'm going to put it on his heart to come over here and take you guys up, because that's what's going to make you repent. And because I said over here in this law, when you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you. I will deliver you. I'll bring you back over here. But you're going to start tripping again because you want to go back to being like those people over here. You want to watch the movies they want to watch. You want to dress like they want to dress. You want to sacrifice your children like they're sacrificing their kids. I'm going to take you out. Look, there's another king. I'm going to put it in his heart. Take him out again. You're going to call on me. I'm going to deliver you. Why? Because I'm faithful to my word. I'm going to save you. I'll bring you back. That's how he's been dealing with them all these years. So is he done with them? No. Why? Because he cannot lie. If you get anything from that tonight, guys, that's in a nutshell the way that God has dealt with mankind. All right, so point number three, 570. Wow, we just got into the book. The remnant of Israel, also known as the elect or believing Israel, shall be saved. We shared that with you from Ezekiel 37. After the rapture of the church, God will again turn his focus toward his people, the nation of Israel. He will gather the children of Israel and make of them one nation in the land. He will gather the children of Israel and make them one nation in the land. Thus the believing remnant of Israel shall be saved. David will be restored as king, and God will make an everlasting covenant with Israel. This restoration is taught throughout both testaments. In fact, consider again Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. So let's go there within our base text now. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm not sure about you, friend, but I'm glad that I have the true God now. Amen. I could care less about the Chicano gods and the Mexicano gods and Cuauhtlan and over there and Cochicoplac down there in the lands of Mexico and all that silliness. By the way, my specific forefathers are the Yaqui people. And I went down there when we found my family 3 years ago. The pastor and his wife took us to a museum. And we were, you know, they were showing us the pictures and the paintings. And my wife was like, man, they look like you. And I'm like, yeah, they nice and good looking, those guys on the paintings. You know, the little Mexicano guys running around. But they did, they showed how the Catholic Church went over there and they forced them to convert, right? They showed all the Mary, you know, all that silliness. So by the end of the tour, the guy says, oh, you guys want to take pictures, you know, with the fluff and the hair and the feathers and all that, blah, blah. I said, no, I don't want to take a picture. But who was there? It was my mother-in-law and it was the pastor's wife. They got excited. Oh, let's take a picture. I said, Katie, we're not going to do that. Why? What am I now, Brother Felipe? I'm a Christian. I'm not a Yaqui that wants to do this little hair dance with the eagle on my head and bones hanging out over here and all death. I represent the living God. And this God over here told me as a Christian, just like he told the Jews for the principle, don't be like the heathen who don't even know who I am. Don't dress like them. Don't sacrifice your kids. Don't put tattoos on your body like they do. Don't put holes in your ears like they do. Don't do all that they're doing. Don't do it. Now, if you have back in the day, you're forgiven. I'm just telling you, he told him, don't do that. Okay. All right. Ezekiel 37 verse 1, the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So remember, guys, these bones represent a spiritually and physically dead Israel. As such, we're on page 571, if you guys have your study book. As such, they had no marrow and were brittle and bleached. The question was whether God could revive such dead matter. Look at verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And what did he say? Lord God, thou knowest. Brother, don't know. Hey, God, you know. I don't know what's going on. The solution for dead in Israel will be the same as it is for sinners who are dead in trespasses and sins today. Hear the word of the Lord. So hid in the charge from heaven, here's what Ezekiel prophesied upon these bones. Look at verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. These lifeless dry bones will get their second breath, or as the Lord puts it in Ezekiel 37:14, he will put his spirit in them, and they shall live. Look at there, Ezekiel 37:14. Ezekiel did his part, and God did what only God can do. Although there was a gathering of the bones, they remained lifeless until the wind of God's spirit blew upon them. You can read that in verse 9. We're on page 572. While it is God's spirit that comes from the four winds and not the elect, as it is in Matthew 24, this designation helps to pinpoint the timing and significance of this event. Those who had historically been scattered into the winds will be regathered. We're almost done. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. And read with me now in verse number 10. For those of you who are just coming in, thank you, brother. We're just talking about the restoration of Israel, all the great promises God made. It's impossible for God to lie, Brother Joe. It's impossible because he made an oath. He cannot lie. He made it to one man by the name of, whoa, Brother Felipe, Abraham. So regardless of the faithlessness or the faithfulness of the offspring of Israel, God is going to keep his word. That's a blessing. All right, now verse 10. Therefore, the fathers shall lead the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall lead their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. Look at verse 12. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. And chapter 12, verse 14, let's go there, Ezekiel 12, 14. If you have your study book, we are on page 572. Ezekiel 12, 14, Bible says, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. So those scattered will be gathered and revived and regenerated by God's Spirit and brought back into the land of Israel. The once dead bodies are restored and clearly identified as the whole house of Israel. You got to go back to Ezekiel 37 and read verse number 10 for that. See there? Verse number 11. The whole house of Israel. See there? It is important not to miss the significance of the meaning of the prophecy of the dry bones of Ezekiel 37. Israel's future points to a time when God opens the graves and brings believing Israel into the land of Israel to dwell there safely for the millennial kingdom. This is clearly Israel's restoration and rebirth performed by the Spirit. John said back there in John chapter 3, let's read this very interesting verse now for the correlation of the wind and the Spirit of God moving. Look at John 3 verse 8. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice that the bodies are resurrected and brought into the land of Israel. One could even say that this is a resurrection when God puts his Spirit in these once dead bodies. It certainly does not match the bodies resurrected and changed in the twinkling of an eye at the church's last trump when the dead at the end of the church age are raised. So the Christians, we have something different, 1 Corinthians 15. But back there in Ezekiel 37, 13, he says, ye shall live in your own land. Additionally, it is important to note that man consists of three parts. Don't forget this, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I'll pull that up there for the online crowd. Don't forget that you are made of three parts. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. The body, if you will, is just a building. Right now, we are in the four corners of this drywall. This is the physical building, if you will, a tabernacle. And then we have a soul. The soul is the real you in that body. So you hear my voice, my audible voice, and my spirit countenance may at times be reflective like this. I may look angry like this. I may look happy. It's my soul. But my spirit assists me, if you will, with that process and that communication with God. But when you die, your flesh is left in the grave. Your soul is what either goes to heaven or hell, and your spirit, it just goes back to God. I want you to think about the spirit as literally the life-giving energy that makes the engine turn. That's what it is. And just it's just that energizing aspect of your nature, of your body, your whole being. Ecclesiastes tells you that the spirit goes back to God. So this prophecy only mentions the body and spirit, but one might refer that the soul, too, must return these bodies to complete the rebirth. Regardless of this unaddressed aspect concerning the soul, the truth is that Israel will be regathered into the land, and the prophecy, the dry bones, is another confirmation of that glorious truth, of that glorious truth. Anybody have any questions, comments so far about what we're talking about? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Comments, questions? Okay, before we come to a close, go back now to Romans chapter 11, and we'll just end here for tonight's discipleship course. We're almost done with chapter 37. Praise the Lord. We're almost done of discussing the promise of Israel's restoration. I'm glad that we're learning that quickly. But before we close tonight, let's go to Romans chapter 11. And let us read here in... This is real good. Let's see here in... Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1. All right, so here we have it. I say then, here's the Spirit of God moving Paul to write this to the Christians in Rome. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. We already saw that, Romans 3, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So remember the promises, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12, and the tribes, all that. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would you not what the scripture saith of Elias? That's just another term for Elijah from the Old Testament. How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. So he thought he was the only guy. When the nation of Israel as a whole, they were worshiping Baal, he thought he was the only man of God left. He was only one out of all the nation. Remember that, what we just read. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So what does that tell you? Even though the nation as a whole forsook the commands, remember we read that, there's still a small portion of Jews who believed. And through that believing remnant, God preserves the whole. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Don't let that trick you. All that's saying there, God made a promise. He chose Abraham and his seed. And how are they preserved? The grace of God. Don't you forget that, friend. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Obviously, we read that earlier today. It cannot be. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And now look, when you see these parentheticals here in your King James Bible, it's just like a little thought, if you will, that helps complete the verse, what it's attempting to communicate there. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, now the Spirit is quoting the book of Psalms, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. But who are the they, and who are the thems? Keep reading. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. Who? Which people? I say, then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? This earth, I kid you not, according to the Bible, economically, socially, morally, if that Jew had a right relationship with God, the entire planet would be that much better off. Isn't that wild? But because of their condition, right now the Gentiles, I mean, all of us, obviously, we're all still kind of surviving on our own now with the faith of Christ. But what I'm saying is, once they're restored, the entire earth is going to be a lot better just because that Jew has a right relationship with God. That's wild. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. Remember, he's just talking about the nation of Israel. And might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Ah, where were we just now? Ezekiel 37, the dry bones. I'm going to resurrect you. Even though you're lifeless, I'm still going to do that. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, so now, brother, you can call yourself a wild olive, amen, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root. Who's the root? We'll come back to that. And fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So all those people, if you go back earlier, the Psalms, and you know who are they referring to? Those people that, you know, let their table be made a snare, verse 9, put a stumbling block, God, in front of their eyes. Let their eyes be darkened. That's a psalm and an application to the Jew who does not want to believe in God. Just like we read earlier in the scriptures, I forgot what our Second Chronicles or where we were. Remember, they did not want to believe. He sent them testimonies. He sent them precepts. He sent them prophets. He sent them seers. Early in the morning, he kept going and telling Judah and Israel, turn from that, do what I say, and I'll bless you. I commanded you. I gave a covenant to your forefathers. But what did it say? They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. So then before David's audience, those Jews, God, who don't want to serve you, Jehovah, who don't want to seek you, those deal with them like that, God. It's real crazy. I mean, it's hardcore. But that's how he's going to deal with those people. So then almost done. Now look here. Let's go back now. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. So remember what we talked about before his sight, the judgment, the discipline, Hebrews 12. There's some other things we can talk about how we our relationship with God can be affected if we continue in sin. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Praise God, because he's a God of his word. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, the Bible explains itself, that's just, if you will, an analogy for the seed of Abraham, be grafted into their own olive tree? Here it is, we're almost done. Here's where Christians should not be ignorant if they trust the Bible and put commentaries of men over here. Church theology over there, and I don't care what church father from the 2,000 years past, if we just trust the scriptures. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In a nutshell, we're running out of time, but God is building a church. And predominantly, it's made of the black man, not the Jew. It's made of the Mexicano, not the Jew. It's made of the Chinese man. It's predominantly made of Gentiles, even though the early church was predominantly Jewish. But until he's done building this church made up of that of the Gentile, he's going to return back to his dealings with the nation of Israel. Look at 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away in godliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. Notice the difference now. Not you the Christian, but that remnant of Israel, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, again, don't get sidetracked. God chose Abraham. They are beloved for the Father's sake. God still loves his people. How about that? For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What is that, brother? Immutability. Don't forget that. Hebrews 11, 6. It is impossible for God to lie. For as ye in times past have not believed God. Anybody here was born a Christian? No, I don't think so. There was a time in my life that I did not believe in God. Anybody here? Yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believe, or I'm sorry, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For to him, and through him, and to him, I'm sorry, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what do we end with? God made a promise. He's going to fulfill it. Regardless of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's faithfulness, disobedience, remember 2 Chronicles, I sent you all the prophets, you don't want to listen. I sent you my I gave you the covenant, you didn't want to obey it. You're over there being like the heathen, you want to sacrifice, you want to be like them, you want to dress like them, you want to mutilate your bodies like them, you want to offer up your children like them, you want to worship the false gods and the groves and the altars, but I'm still going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to resurrect you. I'm going to restore you into this land. I'm going to raise up and I'm going to send my son into this world, the Messiah who's going to come from you, Israel, even though y'all are messing around. He's a good God. You say, how could God do that? Man, I don't know. See, 33, his ways are past finding out. I don't know how a good God can straight time in such a manner and use people and do these things to fulfill his promises, but that's how good he is and that's how wise he is. So what can you take from tonight? He gave you a promise of everlasting life if you just trust his son, Jesus Christ. How many of you guys have seen Jesus? Anybody? I'm not talking about the poster at the Catholic Church. Anybody out here tonight? I haven't seen him. But you know what he said? If I believe in him, he will grant me everlasting life. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So by faith, what do I know? Even though I've made a lot of mistakes after I became a Christian, even though I've sinned after I become a Christian, even though at times I am so unworthy and say, God, how can you still love me? You know what my Bible reminds me of? Man, God's wisdom and his knowledge, it is beyond my feelings. It is beyond my logic. It is beyond my rationale. Oh, the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God. Just be thankful and be joyful in his word, knowing that he said he will do what he said he will do when you just simply believed in him. Because you couldn't do nothing in order to offer him that'll satisfy him by grace through faith. Aren't you glad for that? Comments, questions as we come to close. Anybody out there? Comments, questions. Anybody out there? Nobody? Y'all good tonight? Hey, man, a little tired, man. Okay. All right. Let's pray it out. Father, we thank you for the word. It is so good, God, to know that you are a God of your word. Lord, I feel sorry for my family members and friends, God, that are still out there trying to hope in their false gods and their false religions, thinking that if they offer a sacrifice there or give enough money to that priest at some temple, that maybe their gods would change their mind about their situation. But I'm so glad, God, that you had mercy upon me, that you forbeared my life coming out of this neighborhood and having enough patience to allow me to come to Jesus Christ. And when I did, God, you saved my soul, because your Bible, your word, your commandment, it wasn't given without a change of mind. It is immutable. It's unchangeable. And you saved me. You saved me and you've preserved me thus far because your Bible said so. So tonight, God, if we didn't get anything out of all the history and the theology of how you're dealing with Israel, I pray that we got out this one simple truth, that you gave us everlasting life when we trusted Jesus Christ because your Bible said so. Your word, the authority of your promise is sure. It will not change. And so now that we've been refreshed on that, God, now that we've been reminded, oh God, how can we not serve you? How can we not live for you? How can we not do the things you've commanded us to do, just like the people of Israel, how you gave them prophets and seers and pointing them back to the book. You gave these Christians here tonight, a pastor and Christian friends, to point them back to the book, God. Lord, help these members here tonight have desire to believe you so they can do what you've commanded to for love's sake. Help them, God, to do what you've commanded to do. Father, I'm so thankful to see all of them here tonight, God. Would you help them to get back home safely tonight, Lord? And if you allow us to wake up tomorrow, we'll be sure to give you the thanks to get ready to soul win once again, Lord, with our church family. We pray for a good rest of our night. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I love you. Thanks for coming tonight. There's some coffee, hot water. Y'all make it home. Don't forget tomorrow, 11:30, we're going to meet here at the church because the sweaters are coming in. I got to be at my shop to receive them at USPS, whoever the guy is. So I got to be there to get them. So we'll come back to the church, 11:30, 12. We'll get ready to go soul winning. So if you can join us tomorrow, please do. And that sure be blessing. All right. The Lord bless you.